Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Give us this day our daily bread. You said you would supply all my needs according to your riches. I have but to ask and I shall receive. To go from here and share this love you gave to me, to show someone who's lost and help them find their way, the way to truth and faith, so they can be
this morning, that each one here will have a personal sense of your presence with us, to open our hearts that we may receive you and what you have to share with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Juan Antonio Monterroso. In perfect health, went on a trip, contracted something, got home. I can deal with this. He's a medical doctor. Everything appeared to be all right. Visit him on Sabbath, they say. And on Sunday, Juan is dead. 52 years old. I didn't know the brother. I knew his mother, but I didn't know that they were even related. I knew his ex-wife. I didn't know they were related. I didn't know him. So the funeral was called, announced. I don't know how I got word of it, because he died on a Sunday. And, you know, you don't pass through a Sabbath to announce this thing. But when I got to the Hillcrest Church, I sat in the back. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, you go to funerals sometime because it's your job. You know, you want to show some sense of respect for the person who you know, but you have no sense of, it's not an emotional encounter for you because you're there. You know, funeral directors go to funerals all the time. It's their job. So I went to the funeral and I sat on the back row. I wanted just to be present for the mother who I knew casually, but I'm there. A lot of other things I could have been doing and wanted to do, but I'm there. That happens sometimes. Has that ever happened to you? Just be real with it. So I'm sitting on the back row where the ushers sit, and I get there late, and the whole church is filled. Were you there? Anybody make that journal? You weren't there. The church was filled with the broken people, the disenfranchised people, people in wheelchairs, people who were blind, people in suits and people in uniforms and people just in their regular street clothes and clothes that weren't so well kept. See, during the course of that funeral, his son, I guess he was about 16, began to talk about his daddy. And his daughter talking about her daddy. And a microphone was passed around because it wasn't necessarily a sermon. And people from his church came to honor a man who loved them. He was their doctor. He didn't move his practice to the better locations, I understand. He stayed where the people were. People got up speaking broken English in such wonderful expressions for a man who loved them. A man who helped me reverse my diabetes. You follow me?
Yes.
Another brother in a wheelchair, couldn't stand, but expressing his love for his doctor. People who could not even speak English were speaking in Spanish, but you sensed their love for this man who took care of them. He wasn't just their doctor. He was their brother. He was their counselor. He was their father. He was their friend. He was their pastor. And they were all there. The whole place was filled. His colleagues were there, other doctors from the area, because they too were moved by this man. The EMTs were there. The firemen were there. The police were there. All because of this man's life and how he touched their lives. As his son began to talk about him, he said, "My father was a hard man. He was a determined man. He was concerned about me. He would not accept mediocrity, and he pushed me to become the best that I could be." He said, "But more than all of that, the lesson he taught me was the most important thing on the planet are people and your love for them." I was so happy that I attended that funeral because I saw Jesus. It reminds me of Steve Mackey, who almost got killed in a car accident a few months ago. And I finally got Steve on the phone. He was playing hooky on Sabbath. Talking about he was sick. He was still in pain. So I talked to him on the Sabbath on the phone. You know, pastor, friend's friend. And Steve said, "Now, Steve, I know if I'd gone out, man, you'd have some good words to say about me." I said, "Man, I would have been at your funeral. I would have said some good words about you because I know your life." That's all it boils down to.
Amen.
What's going to be said about me when I'm in this box?
Yeah.
What kind of life have I lived when I'm in this box? We're all going to be in the box, you know. We all go the way of all the earth. On a bottle. And I said, "Lord, I want that testimony said about me." But it's more than when you know nothing about it and folk are talking about you. It's the joy of living while you're involved in it. is called the abundant life. And this is not going to be a pretty sermon, I guess. I'm going to be a little helter-skelter here. This thing called serotonin, you ever heard about it? It's that good-feeling drug. I should say chemical, neurotransmitter, electrical stuff in the brain. Every time you perform an act of kindness, your head is flooded with serotonin. Put a big old smile on your face because you are high. Every time you observe an act of kindness, your head is flooded with serotonin. You know, it's a wonderful high. Satan thought he did a great thing when he destroyed so many people with these floods and what have you. But then when you see on the same TV so many people going to help, that ugliness is turned into good. Do you know the whole planet that watches this? Their heads are flooded with serotonin because they are seeing something divine at work. You can't be in the vicinity of something good happening and not be impacted by it, because it's a divine entity taking place. All good things come where? From God. And so, my experience with Antonio was something I'll never forget, because it touched my life. And I look at our planet. We have such a great opportunity in Kern County. We're at ground zero. I was talking to the doctor today's Sabbath. It must have been Thursday. Came down from Loma Linda. He's doing he's helping another doctor out down here. He's an urgent care doctor. So he decided to stop by Pacific Health Education Center and see me. And he began to talk about what's happening in our city. You know, everybody knows we're ground zero. I'm going to tell him about the lifestyle-based diseases here. And he said, you know, you guys are number one. I said, that's right. Obesity and the things that result from obesity, whether it be cancer, whether it be cardiovascular disease, whether it be, what's the others? Heart disease, cardiovascular, COPD. This is ground zero. Such a wonderful opportunity to show your love. Did you know that high school dropouts, the highest rate of high school dropouts, let me get this right, because I hate people talk about me and they're not telling the truth. So I'm going to this one so I can put my eyes right on it. High school dropouts, California. The enrollment, 2 million plus. The high school dropout rates for California, the state, is 4.5 percentage wise. For Kern County, guess what it is? It's 5.8. There are more folk dropping out of high school in Kern County compared to the state of California. There's more people in Kern County. Isn't that amazing? Such a vat of pain, because you don't just drop out of school. Something is causing that. You follow me? Some dysfunction is taking place in the family. Some sense of low self-esteem. Somebody been pushed aside. Somebody not being made aware of how precious they are. Some child who hasn't experienced that they are shine. They can shine at something. Something's causing that. Moving on further, and it talks about another statistic that's just as alarming. Teen pregnancy. State of California and Kern County. State of California is 35.2 based on Prayer 1000. You got that? Kern County, can you guess what it is in Kern County? 64.9, almost double compared to the state. There's a reason for that. Something's causing that. Somebody is dealing with some low self-esteem someplace. some cultural things are in place that made this is okay, this is what we do. Failing to realize how it would impact the child's life. Because you're on the planet, you're here in California. And single parenting is a real struggle for children and for that parent. I'm reminded of Jesus. I'm reminded of one. Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion because they were harassed. The sheep hassled. They were faint, scattered, with nobody helping them. There's no shepherd out there manning these sheep. They just kind of aimlessly roaming around, open to any prey that seeks to come and destroy them. And Jesus says, pray for help. Because there's this tremendous need. He didn't say, y'all guilty or what have you. He just simply said, pray. Because if God is, he that cometh unto me must believe that he is. Amen. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. If he is a God of love. And I know him, as I'm on my knees, he's going to tell me something's got to change here. And there's something, some gift, some talent I've given you that you may be able to help somebody in need. Amen. Because see, it's more than just helping them in need. Know that thing I mentioned before about serotonin? It's better than TV. You follow me? It's better than coffee. It's better than a whole lot of stuff. God's going to allow us to experience the abundant life. Amen. I came that you might have life. Amen. And have it more abundantly. And it's not necessarily talking about a brand new Mercedes. Now, I like, that's okay. The Lord blesses us with good stuff. But it's more than a house on the hill. Are there any hills in Bakersfield? It's more than your Armani's. Now that's, you know, the Lord has nothing wrong with that, because he said, if you want to, if you hang with me, I'll have you walking on streets of gold. Yeah. And I'll have diamonds on your head. Yeah. You follow me? He says, you hang with me, these are they who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Yeah. You follow me? My special entourage from planet to planet, galaxy to galaxy. You follow me? So he's all about that. But he's also saying, saints, there's a whole lot of people jumping off of bridges who are wealthy because they haven't really felt a sense of purpose and who they are. Yeah. You know, Kenny Rogers said, all you need is, everybody just needs something to do and somebody to love. It's pretty simple. And God is outlining that, because that's where real living is. When you see in someone's eyes light up because you have helped them, you are watching the divine. It's a feeling, it's a sense that you cannot gauge it. And then when you introduce them to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they catch it, and they come in church and you watch it, oh, that's they got their first love. They on fire. No one should lose their first love. Oh man, can you imagine it? You got married to her or him, and it was all good. In about 7 years, you've been fighting like cats and dogs. And you're so wishing and desiring, I wish it could be like it was. You follow me? But because these breakdowns in communication, now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face, by God's grace, the shades of the curtains of foolishness can be pulled aside, and you recognize him and her again, and what it was, that it can be again. You follow me? Well, at any rate, God has that in store for us. where we can really begin and understand what love is and what living really is. And it is touching the lives of those who are in desperate need. My son, so happy to see him. He flew in for his mother's birthday this past week, and she was just beside herself. Now, I'm going to put it this way. He flew in to see both of his mamas. He saw his biological mother, and he saw his stepmama on her birthday. And they went berserk, both of them. Love that kid. God blessed him, and he became a Stanford attorney, practicing in New York, making so much money it almost seemed like it was sinful. And I had to say, boy, I'm scared for you. Why do they make these planes you fly in, international lawyer? They make them for people. Why they build that skyscraper you practice in? It's for people. What about those limousines they drive you guys around in? It's for people. All the stuff you got that God has blessed you with means nothing if it's not used to help God's people. I'm not talking about the church people. I'm talking about God's people. Every person, every man, boy, what other categories on the planet belong to him. And God says, my heart is broken because the devil is destroying them. And will you guys pray that God will send help? Walking through the Bible, that was Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. Then he goes on into Matthew 10. Matthew 10, God called himself some disciples, 12 of them. He's going to send the disciples out to help. He said, I'm giving you power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Do you think he's talking about physical power? Have you ever did battle with the devil? Physical battle with the devil? With the demonic spirit? People try to introduce me to those kind of encounters. I'm not anxious to go. Send John or Joe. Don't send me. But now if you really are bent on that, Lord, I'll go, providing you go in front of me. He's not talking about the brother next to you. He's talking about the devil himself. God is giving you power against unclean spirits, and that power is the Holy Ghost. Because only God can deal with the devil. And when you go about ministering, trying to do something good for people, the devil himself is out to derail you. He will attack your family. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. He'd attack your family before they become your family. You know? He probably attacked your family this morning on the way to church, before you got ready for church. Because, see, he wants to take your mind off your mission and put your mind on yourself. And he'd do anything to distract you. In my family growing up, I had a wonderful brothers and sisters and just a wonderful family. My mother always practiced something when these 7 kids started acting a fool. How you gonna manage 7 kids and they all big and crazy? All strong-willed just like you. She just started singing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word.
Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What a friend we have in Jesus. God is so good. And pretty soon, one crazy child will start singing, and the other crazy child will start singing. Pretty soon you got a choir up in there. Guess what? The power against unclean spirits. Because either the devil was trying to destroy us, our happy experience. But the songs of Zion will rout the devil out of your home on Sabbath morning. Power against unclean spirits. You guys love each other. I saw you today. And Sister Anthony, she just tickles me. Last time I was here, she was up giving this welcome. It was just weird, talking about Bakersfield South Side. And she came back to her seat and said, "Did you tell the truth? Was that true?" She said, "Yes, that was true." And I watched you guys, how you love each other. You know? That's why you're here. Now, you might not like everybody. I mean, some of you guys I like better than others. I know you too. I love you. You know. But some of you guys are hard to like. I'm not going to point you out. You know who you are. You know you. You people tell you all the time. They don't come up running up to you. They start running away from you. They see you coming. You follow me? You're just not a warm person. We're still praying for you, and you're still praying for you, and the Lord's still praying for you that you become a warm person. Am I telling the truth here? Some of you got some edginess. Brother in the Sabbath school this morning, there's some edginess. That was a good word. You know, rub against them and you're getting cut. The world is in desperate need. And there's a fellowship here. Y'all got any white friends? Y'all got any additional black friends? Y'all got any additional Hispanic friends? Or, you know, when you colleagues, relatives, next door neighbors, do they know you? Are you some secret society that kind of sneaks out? Sneak back in. Who are they and what are they? Should we call the cops on them? What I'm saying to you is this. People are drawn to people who are likable. It's not your eloquent discourse. It's the way you win your way to the heart. You following? When I was a child, my whole baseball team would come to my house and pick me up for baseball practice. I don't know what that was about, but my mother had instilled in us this whole thing about caring for people. You know? Loving people. I guarantee you the world is in desperate need of it. Where are the young people? Do they like you? Are you likable? Somebody was challenging me because my son used to call me Steve. He called me a number of things. Sometimes he called me Daddy. Most time he called me Steve. He said, "Pastor Horton, that doesn't seem appropriate." I said, "You know what? I don't care what the brother calls me, as long as he respects me and loves me."
Amen.
I said, "Watch this." He was so far away up the river, he couldn't even hear me call him. And I said, and he showed up. I said, "That's what I'm talking about." He had so much confidence and trust in my love for him. He has so much confidence and trust in me because I have shown him respect since he was this big. Ellen White said, "A child needs to learn how to obey cheerfully." So I'm late for a meeting to get this boy to throw this piece of paper in the trash cheerfully. Put it in the trash. I said, "Come on, dude." And we go back and forth and explain to him and relate to his little head until he puts the paper in the trash can cheerfully. So his will is never broken. And he is doing what he wants to do because it has been explained to him, and that love has gone. I brought this old 300D turbo diesel because I'm getting old, and that little car was beating the devil out of my back. So this big old thing, it kind of just floats. It's a 1984. It just kind of floats. And so I told my son about it. His first concern was, Dad, that car has no airbags. It's a 27-year-old man. He was simply saying, I still love you.
Amen.
I said, you know what? They have this little, you can get one put in for $300, take it out of an 85, put it in an 84, and the airbag is okay. You get the point? Do your kids like you? Do you have friends who like you? Because if they like you, they want to be where you are.
Amen.
Have you baptized people who are gone? Are there Sabbath school members who are not present? Do they know you like them? Do they like you? If they do, they want to be where you are. If they don't like you, they're out of here. Power against unclean spirits, against the devil. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Not some spontaneous outburst, but a continuous manifestation of love. Not something you can conjure up, but a divine love. A divine love that says, if you need a kidney, I got two. That means I can give you one of my kidneys? You would give me one of your kidneys because you want me to live? That's a supernatural love. I've seen it. Sister in our office needs a kidney. People lined up. I'll give you one of mine. I mean, I saw this. It exists on the planet. Love. We got just a little food, but you can have some. All y'all come to my house and eat watermelon on my patio and drop the seeds. Because that's what kids do. Get up in my pool. That's what kids do. Walk up in and out of my house on my carpet, messing with my doors too roughly. But that's where I got this stuff, to assist in ministry. That's love. And I'm going to tell you, that's a supernatural love. Are you the one, the world says, or do we look for another? That's the very next chapter, Matthew 11. Go check him out. Are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus didn't start quoting Bible text. He didn't start talking about the Sabbath or the state of the dead, or the 2300-day prophecy. He said, watch me. People who can't walk are being healed. People who can't talk are talking. People who can't hear are hearing. People who have ugly, awesome diseases that are rotting the nose and the fingers off their body are being healed. And the poor people who are shunned so frequently by the affluent, they are having the gospel preached to them by the King of the universe.
Amen.
Now go tell John what you have seen. Are you the one? Or should we look for another? Over there in Daniel 9, you know the text. Under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You know that whole experience? And associated with that text, it says in Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Jesus came. That's not a question. Are you the one? Watch him. And that's what determines if he is. by his life, what he does. Matthew 25, Jesus outlines our mission and our ministry. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. He outlines our mission and our ministry. And he says, when they're hungry people, y'all feed them. When they're thirsty, they know where to go and get some drink.
Amen.
When they are strangers, you find no stranger here. They take them in. When they're naked, they're clothed. When they're sick, they're not longing by themselves in some hospital room, scared and confused, but somebody's there holding their hand. When they're in prison, so many locked up behind prison bars just because that somebody, they're visiting them. It says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of the earth prepared for. I always blow that text. I blew it the last time I said it. And do not help me out. It's in Matthew 25. And it says, and I'm going to get this text right because I know it by heart. If somebody starts over and I get it. And it's Matthew 25, and it says, and shall appear. I'm going to find it. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world because you did all this stuff. So the question is, are you the one? Or should we look for another? It's not going to be because you keep the Sabbath day holy. There's a lot of folks keep the Sabbath day holy. Do you love in a tangible way? Christ's method is the only method of true success. He hung out with people. He mingled with people as one who desired their will, their best good, showed them sympathy, won their confidence. Then he said, follow me. As a little girl in my house, I didn't know she was so young. She's 21 years old. She's the care provider of my mother-in-law and my grandmother-in-law. Every girl 22 got mama problems, got daddy problems, got boy problems, got education problems. Did I say boy problems? Got boy problems. They got that. Every young man also. So you're not going to be in my house and me not love you. So we're teaching her. No, I taught her how to cook. You following? And we talked to her about mama daddy problems. And we talked to her about boy problems. And we talked to her about education problems. This is not your final place. There's a greater world for you. You know what that spells? L-O-V-E. It's called meeting people in their felt needs. And she will not be able to resist. What makes you tick? Why do you love me so? Her mother and father flew out here from where they live in Oklahoma and just praising us and thanking us for taking care of their little girl. She is an employee. She happens to be their daughter. And it's been translated to them that she's being loved. And they want to come and check out who is loving my daughter like this. I'm so happy you guys are taking care of her. No, she's an employee. We pay her. I'm so happy you guys are taking care of her and assisting her and supporting her. You follow what I'm saying? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? That's Anthony. He's my buddy. I love to tease him. Well, saints, I want to read one passage to you, and then we're going to start shutting down real quick. In the same chapter, Matthew 25, Ellen White speaks about a number of things. It's called The Least of These, My Brethren. I'm anxious to share two of them with you, but I may only be able to share one. And it says, The Savior has given his precious life in order to establish a church capable of caring for sorrowful, tempted souls. He did what? He's given his precious life in order to establish a church capable of caring for sorrowful, tempted souls. That's why we exist. A company of believers may be poor, may be uneducated, and unknown. Yet in Christ, they may do a work in the home, the neighborhood, the church, even in the regions beyond, whose results shall be as far-reaching as eternity. Did you catch that? It is because this work is neglected that so many young disciples never advance beyond the mere alphabets of Christian experience. The light which was glowing in their own hearts when Jesus spoke to them, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," they might have kept alive by helping those in need. The restless energy that is so often a source of danger to the young might be directed into channels through which it would flow out in streams of blessing. Self would be forgotten in earnest work to do others good. Those who minister to others will be ministered unto by the chief shepherd. They themselves will drink of the living water and will be satisfied. They will not be longing for exciting amusement or for some change in their lives. The great topic of interest will be how to save the souls that are ready to perish. That's how you save young people. That's how you save old people. Get them involved in something that will blow their minds as they connect with the divine. My brother was preaching, and you know, those who may have heard him, he's a tremendous preacher. And my son was on one side and my nephew's on the other side. And as he was preaching, they were all but, "Oh, what's this?" Now here's, you know, tremendous preacher. But as soon as he started talking about practical lines of ministry, helping people in need, my son and my nephew both began to clap. I'm going to tell you, practical ministry. Now, I'm going to say something to you. It may be painful. But to sit up in Sabbath school and argue back and forth about what Paul did or what Paul didn't do don't mean nothing. But to sit up in Sabbath school and talk about what you've seen God do in your life, well, you've seen him on the street this week. That's exciting. Apologetics has been the death of this church. Because it's got us so caught up on, "I'm right and you wrong." You can't win nobody like that. You win people by trying to find points of which you agree. And you move from there. You follow me? Satan has got us in a trap that we need to break out of. Don't nobody want to come face to face with an argument over the Bible. Doesn't mean a thing. Does that make sense? I'm sorry to be so hard. What time do you guys close church? What time is sermons usually over here? About 12:30? I see people getting restless and what have you. Sin has caused major damage down here. But God's original purpose for creation is going to be realized. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Revelation, 21st chapter. And it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and the first earth passed away. And there was no more sea." Skipping on down, God says, "Behold, I make all things new." Do you know that includes your husband? "Behold, I make all things new." That includes your wife. "Behold, I make all things new" includes your children. Isn't that going to be a wonderful experience when I'm made new and God's original purpose of creation will be realized in me and my attitude will be like his? But you know, saints, it's going to cost something. is not coming cheap. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I be lifted up from the earth, what? I will draw all men unto me. Put up your sword, Peter. Don't you know I could call 12,000 angels to protect me? No man takes my life. I lay it down. For this cause came I into the world. I've seen the travail of my soul. I've seen Jackson, and I'm satisfied. I've seen Anthony, and I'm satisfied. I've seen these people in their worst condition, in the worst time of Earth's history, and I recognize their struggles, and I recognize their commitment, and it's worth dying for. That's what my Savior's all about. But must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and me. Over there in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 9, it says, God chose the apostle last, as it were appointed to death, to be a spectacle, a witness unto worlds and to angels and to men. Yeah. Did you know that angels are looking on trying to figure out this mystery of iniquity? This mystery of divine salvation? You know they're looking on and we are witnesses? It throws us back to the Roman Colosseum. You follow me? That arena, that stadium filled with people coming from the city to go out and watch the gladiators, those fighting machines with their weaponry and their armor, fighting at a time when there's no mercy, no time out. We're going to experience some death up in here, and folk are coming to experience death to watch it. And so in the arena, they start warring. And somebody, what? Dies. And then they release the beast. And there's a war with the gladiator and the beast. And somebody dies. And then you hear singing. And Christians are coming into the arena. Naked. And the beast are released. And those Christians are ripped to shreds. The strange thing is, having seen that, more Christians come into the arena naked, and the beast ripped them to shred. And they simply are saying, no man taketh my life. I lay it down willingly. For this cause came I into the world, for I've seen the travail of my soul, and I'm satisfied. The sacrifice is not too great for those in this county who desperately need to know who Jesus is. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, because the world needs you. Martin Luther King said, if you have not found something worth dying for, you're not fit to live. Because you can't live. God found something worth dying for. And his creatures, it's his creation. And he's given us a mission. They're worth dying for. Dying to self for. Your kids are worth dying for. Your cousins and aunts and uncles are worth dying for. Your next door neighbors are worth dying for. Your colleagues on your job are worth dying for. It's worth taking some time to get a sense of knowing who Jesus is so you can show him. And he is so irresistible. It's worth shutting your attitude down for Jesus. It's worth putting your penny ante concerns aside for Jesus. I don't have to be right. Just let me be a part of the family. Let me be a peacemaker in God's house so that I can demonstrate as a family what God prayed for, that they would be one. An irresistible family of God here at Southside, that people cannot find room enough to get up in here, because this is where water of life is found. And it's not necessarily the doctrines. They are important, but they're only as important as they show us who Jesus is. Because he is the altogether wonderful one that people are trying to understand and see. God bless you. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for the opportunity God has given us here in this area to be his vessels of love. Father, I thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our God. Praise your name for giving us a sense of who you are. Praise your name for touching me and helping me recognize who my daddy is. Abba, Father, we are not alone. We belong, and we do have a purpose. It's a divine purpose. It's an eternal purpose. Help us to not allow anyone to steal it from us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.